Hello, and welcome to Focus and Fury. I'm Nigel.
I'm Caleb.
I'm Jamie.
And I'm Ryan, not Brian.
And that was an awkward pause.
And we are an explicit and opinionated podcast, but all awkward pauses can be fixed in post. Yeah. And we're an official, we are a tightly run ship now.
You are expecting a lot of me.
Crack eject timing and clockwork precision.
Wait, we're all COC?
Yes.
Yes.
Absolutely.
We are giant cocks.
Yep.
Yeah, and we're made out of mostly metal.
Yes.
Some of us more than others.
And we are an explicit and opinionated podcast.
You already said that.
Did I?
Yeah.
Well, okay,
we can say it twice.
Yeah, hey, the phrase is so nice we had to say it twice. Yeah. So
it's like using an
you got to warn people at least twice.
And we could check that out in post, too.
We're not going to check that out.
We never make mistakes, thanks to Jamie's editing.
Yeah.
This whole first minute can go.
Yep. If there are like blips and bleeps and bloops, that's totally Nigel just talking, I swear.
Yep, sure.
Yep.
We're just R2, that good.
Yeah, or R2's on. One of the two.
And we don't have seven people today.
We don't have seven people. We just have four.
Yep.
Totally. It's a little weird. I feel a little lonely in the room.
No, there's more than enough man to go around here.
Well, so I've got sort of the ghost of Casey over my shoulder. He's just sort of telling me to don't use the targeting computer. Drink a blue monster. He's coaching me, yes.
Yeah. Don't use Wish Nailer.
Yeah.
All casters should go down, not up.
Put the microphone away.
So we had an awesome COC event today. You want to talk about that?
No, because I didn't play.
No shit.
But yeah. I did miss it, so let's talk about it.
You did miss it.
I did.
So we had a total of 17 players, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
We had folks from across the state, mostly just from the south.
Yeah, mainly Rochester. But
only Rochester.
Across the state, sure.
But that's cool. They're sweet. We love them.
Real quick, how many people actually played Cult of Cirrus?
Only two.
Two. Or sorry, Convergence of Cirrus.
Yeah. Convergence of Cirrus. Yeah. Same thing.
Whatever. Yeah. Whatever.
We had two. We had one of our locals who actually had a bunch of the lock and load pre-release stuff, which was cool because we allowed him to use his Colossal, which got dropped later on. And it was horrifying.
Hmm.
Yep. They explode pretty well.
It did. Apparently.
Yeah. Oh no! It actually got dropped on the floor.
Yeah.
God damn it! Was it bounce on that stupid rock thing and it fucking broke off it?
Yeah.
Well, apparently the entire thing just like rock'em sock'em rolled out apart.
Yeah, it went into a million pieces, and then I spent literally 45 minutes pinning it back together.
And was dabbing his tears?
he was quite stoic the entire time.
I think he kind of sat in the corner and read books.
He just had like the lip quiver.
Bit his finger and read a book. It worked out well.
So. And then our own Beanish even played.
He played
the cock. Yeah.
It went, what, like 5-0?
Actually, some people went like 8-0.
Yeah.
Like this guy.
9-1.
9-1. Was it really?
Yeah, it's Krispy Kreme.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, he tried Karchev once and got assassinated.
Yep, by one point.
And you played what else the entire time?
Karchev with 5 Berserkers, E Butcher with Conquest and Beast 09, mm-hmm. and any other caster with Conquest and Beast 09. Strakov, Vlad, Esorcha.
Zirkova.
Didn't matter. Nobody plays Zirkova.
Not Zirkova.
I'm actually kind of sad that nobody did play Zirkova, because in the scenario, for those who aren't aware, for the CO release event, we used a special scenario, and it had a giant base. And that giant base was actually an arc node for everybody, right? So Zirkova could, for finally, once in her life, had an arc node, and nobody played it.
Thrown out a shitload of really expensive twisters that did nothing.
Yeah, that would have been sweet.
I mean, take that!
I didn't say it'd be good, but she'd be excited.
I did play Peace Fortune. I throw out a Tempest and a Razor Wind every turn.
Yes, yeah, that'd be sweet. Peace Fortune's actually got spells to chuck around.
Yeah.
Or the old she witch. Can stationary people and then throw her spells around.
Uh-huh.
It's almost useful.
It is.
And then you shoot at them, you know. It's like the good old days when Peace Fortune was actually sweet.
Yep, Strakov might have accidentally used Battering Ram.
It slipped, I swear.
I had extra fear or extra focus. I didn't know what to do with it.
There's a blank space on the card. What do we do? Fucking give him Battering Ram.
So guess what our most numerous faction was, though?
Kador?
Yup.
Look, the Big Red Machine is back, and whatever.
Technically,
it never left Minnesota.
Yeah.
Actually, I don't think it was Kador.
We live in the land of the ice and snow, and we kind of like that whole Russian vibe, but... Wait, what? Oh,
I'm going to double check.
Uh-oh.
I'm going to call myself on it.
Oh.
It might not have been Kador.
It might have been Menoth?
No. It was not Menoth. It's Signar or somebody else.
Signar. There's a lot of Signar
trolls.
Players.
Well, there were no trolls. Whoa.
There was no troll. There was one crit.
Trolls the faction or trolls trolling players?
There were trolling players.
There was a trolling player, but he shall rename names.
Was there a big Everblight contingent then? Or?
Nope.
There was one.
Well, then it had to have been Kador.
It's Cotter and Signer.
Yeah, they were tied for first.
Yep.
Oh, man, a tie. So
yeah. The old matchup.
Mortal enemies meet again.
Blue versus red.
Yep. And actually, the other guy that went, like...
Well, it wasn't really losses, but...
Okay, he tied for first, but...
Yeah, so for those unaware, the event wasn't really a tournament. It was a kind of casual format where you play a bunch of games and it's all chill. And then at the end of the day, a person with the highest number of points wins, right? And so we had two guys tied at the end.
One did a lot of painting and train building.
Which was sweet.
Yeah, which was awesome. He had a sweet giant arc node.
Yep, that was Todd from Rochester. And he brought us some walls, which is sweet.
Yep.
And had a fully painted army.
Yep. And I have no idea what that is.
Yeah, no, me neither.
Caleb doesn't even know where his paints are.
Nope.
He actually gets violent if you ask him to paint things for you.
I get violent if you talk about magic kids. lots of different things.
These are all trigger words for Caleb.
Yeah.
Magic.
Yeah. Charlie in the Wire.
So, yeah, Ryan didn't play. So nobody here actually played COC for this thing, though. Beanish played COC. Eric played COC.
Yep.
Do we have a third?
No.
Nope.
No.
Okay, so just had...
Beanish did pretty well with his COC.
Yep.
Was enjoying him quite a bit.
He went undefeated, actually.
Yeah, he went 5-0.
Which, I don't know if he just was... punching kids again or what?
No, he played Todd, he played the other Eric. So cool. He played COC on cock. Sword fighting.
Did they touch tips?
COC is not bad in this format.
No, it's great. The problem now is that they just don't have the releases to be played in
any other format.
In anything else.
Correctly. Yeah, but it was a good time. People had fun.
Yeah, it was nice and laid back.
There was a little bit of stress going on.
You've been making a lot of claims about this epic butcher guy.
Yep, so I'm on an epic butcher fix, and I can't get enough of the crazy dude. Maybe it's because he's bald, I don't know, but he's freaking amazing. And the more I've been playing him for about a month now, and as soon as I heard about the journeyman, I started playing Andre with him. And I think he solves a lot of issues for E-Butcher, giving him a solid focus. 4 focus a turn, which Butcher actually really needs to make him consistent. But besides that, I think Butcher brings this element of not a lot of people see him outside of his tier, so it's like Doom Reaver spam. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty one dimensional. Like, I just run at you, and if I get to you, I kill you, and if not, then I lose. I run E Butcher with a lot of Widowmakers and ranged, and it's all about getting his feet going and get fed up, and then like doing movement shenanigans with Beasto 9, and he runs 12 and moves an additional 6 with the feet, and then so he has like 18 inches of threat, you know, with reach, and it's nonlinear, and so
yeah. The biggest trick for me when I played him a lot was timing your turn right, so that it was like, you have to collect a lot of souls. Ideally, he would have to kill a model on his feet turn so that you can get your conferred rage. But that's usually... I was setting it up so that he can kill a model himself on his feet turn without he himself getting killed the turn prior, which is almost fucking impossible. You have to sort of be 15 inches away from people when you end your turn, and hopefully you've got enough focus camped where you don't get killed, which, you know, with those stupid rolls. But that's sort of the big...
He does have a sweet hand cannon. So you can do some silly stuff with that to just get that, like...
That one, yeah, exactly.
That one dude, like, boost a hit and boost damage. And your assassination run really depends on what you roll for focus that turn.
Yeah.
So, like, I've had it a couple games where you have to put it off because you roll 1 or 2. But anything above that, you can actually make them work. Mm. So, I mean, I've been running Conquest... run by the journeyman, and he kind of just hides behind that, and as he walks up the field and does a good job of protecting him, and then when he's about to pop his feet, then Conquest runs off and starts collecting souls for him.
Yeah, being able to mitigate the roll a bit by having focus to give to Conquest is handy.
Yeah,
and plus red line.
Yeah, you know,
can't beat it.
You really can't. Like, I can't say it enough. I think he's just what Kator needed, but...
Yeah. But it seems like you've really had to stick Epic Butcher with Conquest in case he dies, so that someone's there to reactivate the next turn.
Yeah, you keep him close, and you actually use his range projection to help bring people in to Butcher. So, you know, that crit devastation on a 4-inch template is a little bit scary to some people. Any range projection in Kator is good. especially when he can move 6 inches and shoot 15, so 21 inches.
Yeah, I think you're on the right idea. I always hate the Doom Reaver spam list. It's so like tokeny one note that, and it just gets crushed by, like, whenever I play. That's the type of list I fantasize about seeing. Like, oh my god, a bunch of 13, 14s running at me. You know, coming six at a time. It's like,
I wish I had blast templates.
Yeah. I wish I had a Wintergard Death Star that could just hose it all off completely, you know, and then have 12 or 14 shots afterwards that get rid of the guys that are farther back so that they can still run and not engage you the next turn. Even if they do, as long as you pass your fear check, then you hose those, you know. It's such a, that list is so, ugh,
it's so derpy.
It's just so derpy. Like, all it does is blow up shit that's, you know, if it's like battle group heavy and troop light, they just totally tease off on it. But
yeah,
maybe that's good. I don't know, but I hate that list.
It's also super expensive.
Yeah,
and you can't actually get Doom Reapers right now because I'm trying. Mm-hmm. So there's that.
So for the record, he wants to play that list.
No, I want two units. I only have one. I don't need six or whatever it is. E Butcher has yet to fail me. So, you know,
time for Denegra.
Yeah. Our time for good old fashioned actual tournament.
Yep. I think next week Madison's having a tournament.
Yep. So there's one over in Madison.
Oh, God,
on
you're
going to
bring Epic Butcher. It's going to be the worst.
Or the best.
Yeah. So
heads up, Madison. You're on blast with Butcher.
Who's your other casters? Zerkova?
Harkovich. I'm going top tier competitor.
I'm literally the ghost of Christmas future coming back to visit you. Like, don't make the mistakes I made. Don't do it. Do not go there with an E-Butch Karchev combo. I don't care about how many noobs you stomp all week. It's not worth it. That's okay, though.
No,
this is how we learn.
Yep. I'm relatively new to the War Machine community, so it's getting put on blast by some vets is needed sometimes. So,
and there's an arc that a KOTOR new player has to follow. It starts with Manowar Shock Troopers.
No, it did not start.
Oh, it so totally did with me.
And it comes up through, and you hit the Epic Butcher because you're like, oh, regular Butcher's sweet. This guy's epic. And then you come back down to playing real casters. So eventually you'll get there.
Like Harkovich.
Yeah, definitely Harkovich.
God damn it.
And the ham pole.
Sweet beards and hams.
Hey, I'm liking both of those things.
You are Harkovich.
Yeah, I am.
I think Nigel's been working on an actual good list with P-Butcher, though.
Have I?
Have you?
At least looking at the options.
I've been working on Zerkova.
Well, you did get asked a couple questions on the forums.
I did. I think I kind of answered them, though. I mean, I think P-Butcher in the Pulse Colossal meta, that list changed, you know, that weird, his sort of take on Stranger Danger or whatever. Sort of. But Roshan Brian's still good with him. But I would lose Drago in the Battle Engine for just the conquest, and then sort of, you know, probably keep it in battle group as opposed to running the Red Line Express. And then the troops are kind of the same. I don't know, but it's just, we'll see. I have to play more. I have to actually go to more tournaments and stop playing pickup games where pickup, it's like our local meta is very forgiving because we still see a lot of the same lists. It's like the Colossal Wave hasn't really hit us hard yet, so people don't really shove it down our throats. Like Todd had the double galleon list for a while, but, and he still plays it. It's just, that's really, like, I still see a lot of that, like, three units, you know, three units, lots of crap, minimal battle group type lists, you know?
Yep.
Which are super forgiving. Like, it's very easy to play against stuff that is like 3 years old, you know?
Well, and you've seen before, but yeah, times.
Yep. So I haven't seen a lot of this new, a lot of, you know, Ephioras Adjudicator bullshits or, you know, Epic Haleys with Stormwalls or. I did run into, Nick's been running that Epic Haley double battle engine list or whatever. That thing's fucked. The tier list. Jesus Christ, that thing's mean as shit. You gotta watch out.
I think you gave that a go for a short period of time.
I did. It was fun. But yeah, just starting with those tokens is being able to boost those battle engines right away is really fucking good. Oh, those things hurt a lot.
I wish the COC battle, but that's a side point.
Oh my god. that thing makes me cry.
But yeah, some part of my journey back is re-exploring the shitty, since our local meta hasn't exactly embraced all the new shit yet. I'm embracing all the old shit I never used. So Shock Troopers, Zerkova, I'm just revisiting, you know, because we got the Kovnik, so we're mixing it the old pieces. Zerkova still is terrible.
I think you were talking about Kossites earlier today.
Kossites. I actually, Kossites, strangely, of my, like, comeback, Kossites have been the most fun. I played Minions for a spell there, and the Bogtrog guys, were really fucking good. They were all stars in every goddamn game. And that just got me rethinking about Kossites. And Kossites...
That's because they're way better than Kossites.
They are way better. But Kossites are situationally... Like, the nice thing with Kossites is they're just batshit terrible. But they get people on tilt. Especially, particularly, Menoth players.
When you kill the choir.
Yeah, because you just fucking house choir. And you'll do it, like, constantly. And you house, like, Vassal Mechanics and everybody else. I mean, you just get back there, and then they've got to send their avatar backwards and try to gaze Kossite Woodsman in or something.
It's like, awesome.
Yeah, it's the worst. You know, you've got them so on the ropes at that point.
You can use them to tie up some ranged units. And
well, that, you they're so... With that little reform, that just slight little buff they got where they reform, makes them incredibly maneuverable back there. So they sort of... They come in and about the, they come in 3 inches in, which is like the 4 inches in, essentially using the front of their base, and then they walk 6 and then reform 3 more. So they're really all over the place, or they can just run and engage stuff. But yeah, they trip up. They do a lot of crazy awesome things. So for 6 points, having 10 of them, I hate to fucking say it, they're not that bad. The only problem.
And were you just saying E-Butcher was silly?
These guys actually do what they need to do. Though that's the thing. E-Butcher, it's like, yeah, maybe he'll do something awesome, maybe he won't.
Yeah, if you roll a 6 every turn, E-Butcher's great.
Yeah, if you roll 6 every turn, he's phenomenal.
But. Yeah, he's like the best caster in the game.
Yeah. If he was even D3 plus 3, he'd be a pretty good caster.
That's kind of what I was always assuming he would be. But
yeah.
No.
But no, he's, yeah.
Yeah, I'm actually more interested in Butcher 3, so... Just on a Butcher kick, but...
Yeah.
It's because he's sweet.
All yep. Butcher all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, the Kossites also have the corner case, Battle Lust, Irisk shenanigan, but that one's so
well, that was
annoyingly
the
hard to pull off that...
Yeah, it's like sometimes you want to polish the turd to such a high gloss that it doesn't really work. And that was the big, like, Irisk would pop his feet, put Battle Lust on him, so they're getting plus 2 to hit, plus, you know, or Epic Vlad would get, you know, 3 or 4, maybe Bloody Kinged out.
oh my god.
Exactly. And then they have huge threat range, and they're coming in and just making things happen, but it's just not worth it.
Yeah, it turns out they still can't hit.
Yeah.
You have to play so far up that it's not worth it.
I've won one game with them with an assassination run, and I've lost two where they got Severius and Magnus to their last hit points. And then so it was like one hit point left, and then like, oh, and I wasted my feet, and my caster's way out in the, you know, no man's land because he had to like charge one of my own models to get close enough to do all the stuff. And I mean, there's a lot of things that have to happen crazy for you to pull off stupid shit like that. But
it's easier to do the card chip slide.
Yeah, yep.
And it works out about as well most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when I first started Gator, that was like my jam. Just doing the card chip slide all over the place.
Is this before you became a douchey Crix player?
This was before the douching happened.
The ongoing douching.
Well, you know.
It hasn't finished yet.
He's douched less because now he's on Gatsby 3 instead of Gatsby 2.
Tried to move forward. Not because of the nerf, but more because of the bitching. And so I actually started playing him when he first came out, and I was super excited about him. And he's just not your average Crix player because he's all buff instead of no debuff. But I'm trying to work out like what's best with him and everything, and I'm unsure so far.
He seems as a well-rounded caster.
Yeah, he does a lot of stuff. What I've been finding, he actually has a legit assassination run. Because on his feat turn, anybody that casts a spell, including star action spells, as well as spends focus or fury, actually gives him a soul. And then the next turn, I've gotten up to like almost 20 souls.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's got Hex Blast, Pow 13s. Right? You can boost like 4 or 5 of those.
Yeah, I mean, technically Terminus has the same sort of potential threat from a spell assassination run, but...
Dependent. List dependent, yeah.
Yeah, list dependent, yeah. It was the same thing here. You almost move like, I'm playing against Retribution with like double mittens or something. Then it's super great.
Well, the thing is, with you can build a Gatsby 3 list to auto-generate a certain amount of souls, you know, for your feed turn.
Mm-hmm.
So
you have like the Withershadow Combine Rocket, and then you got Scarlock, and you got
So you know,
it's only enemy spells.
Exactly.
Like stupid good.
Well, based on you guys using it in a positive sense, I had to assume that it was like
I said, I'm actually getting like 16 to 17 focus the next turn.
That's just because people are being cray cray.
Well,
Who the fuck is casting that many spells?
Like, that's like saying I play Peen Doomshaper. You'd be surprised how many people I kill with my feet because they like run around and just. It's like I'm always playing against a Harbin. She just empties all 10 focus.
Yeah, I cast Blood of Kings. Take 46.
Pretty sweet.
Yeah,
but no. But the problem I'm having is like the average list is just look, there's Bane Thralls and Sussex Raiders to jam because you have Ashen Veil, and then that's it. Right, so I'm trying new things, mechanic thralls, stuff to benefit from Carnage.
Yep,
and he's got some interesting stuff going on.
He does. He's kind of sweet.
He's boring as shit. Yeah.
I don't think he's as good as a lot of the other casters.
And I think Keith made the point that the reason no one likes him is that he doesn't have a good feat. right? Mm-hmm. So Crix casters are taken because of their feats. So you look at the big ones, right? Gaspy's feat, amazing. Denegar's feat, pretty sweet. Peacecar's feat, bonkers, right? Whereas the ones who don't get taken very much, like Scabrous or Gore Shades, they're good, but they're not as good as some of the others. And so I don't think that three Gaspy is really like the total package that a lot of people want them to be. Mm-hmm. Kind of sucks.
Yeah, it's. I don't think a lot of the newer casters that have come out for most factions have been amazing. Ones to enter the top tiers. So,
well, I think with Crix especially, to be a top tier caster in Crix, you'd have to be so brokenly good when you come out, it would just unbalance the game to be taken.
There's a thread on that on the Muse board right now. It's like, what could they give us that's new that we won't just ignore because we already have better stuff for Crix?
Nothing.
Right.
Well, it starts becoming a mix of what's already there.
Yeah.
That's, and honestly, if you really want to look on it, you know, at the, at every faction suffers that.
Yeah.
Other than maybe the occasional Hordes faction or whatever, but, you know, Kador is the same thing. If you got your top five, and it would be pretty tough. You have to get pretty creative to beat, you know, P. Vlad, Epic Sorcia, whoever.
P. Butch, whatever. P. Butch,
yeah.
Yeah, Harkovich was not it.
Or Rust Prime. Mm-hmm. You know, it's...
I don't think Butcher 3 is going to make it to the top, honestly, but we'll see when he comes out.
You know, it'll be interesting.
I'm predicting there's something janky with him. Like, he's going to change the game in some way.
Yeah. I'm hoping for an E. Morvana release, but, you know, that's being crazy and...
Very hopeful.
Yeah. Thinking Kador's going to get more love than it's already gotten. But.
Yeah, I mean, I was expecting like Sturgis to be better for Crix, and he just was not.
I really like his Signar version.
Yeah, he's way better.
Yep.
And so I'm kind of on like a little bit of a Carnage for Use kick where I'm like not using the top tiers, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm kind of being inspired by him, which is a really scary thought.
That's super scary.
Yeah. It is, right?
Let that happen.
I know. Yeah. Well, you know, we're kindred horrible Crix players.
Tomorrow
now,
go get Scar.
Yep.
Just give up on this.
Well, I already got Scar. No, he's playing like Pete or Edenegra, right? Which is not bad.
Mm-hmm. Don't follow in his footsteps.
I do love Peacecar still. I can't deny it.
I think you're working on Blood Gorge.
I am.
I actually miss Escar. I actually miss her. She used to be so fucking broken. Does anybody remember when she used to just be the most bullshit thing, and now she's like, eh.
Yeah, and it's not like she's really gotten a lot worse.
No. Oh, you can't attack these five models. F you.
Yeah.
Can't target even.
Yeah. Yeah. It used to be so fucking bullshit with the Deathjack and the Harrower and Leviathan and, you know, whatever. She would just ram it
back when they back when people ran Jax and Crix.
Mm-hmm. She was one of the few people that did it well.
I'm trying to bring it back a little bit.
Well, yeah. And then Black Spot, fucking Christ.
Yeah, that got played today.
Yeah.
And Beanish literally was in the corner of his deployment zone. with invincible Jax, like, all over his shit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it doesn't hurt that she can boost after the fact, which, is a pretty handy ability to have in almost every situation.
And she's also got, and she still carried the, I can be a weapon master if I cut myself.
Yep, with Sacrifice. Yeah. Yep. Which is not reach, I might add, and everyone forgets that, like me. Like, it looks like it's reach because it's a huge fucking sword on our model. Not reach. Sucks.
Well, that's just how they do.
Yeah, like butter knives on avatars and the fucking Nis Hunters having giant claymores.
Yeah. Now, one of the things, part of, like, for instance, my Zukrova kick, mostly my re-entry, I kind of don't want to take advantage of our current meta, because it's all sort of, like...
We have a lot of new players.
Yeah, it's low-hanging fruit, so you got to go in there and all gentle-like and sort of, you know, can't...
And then I might add that he dodges us on Tuesdays and
damn right.
Does not play with us.
But it's also to rehash... So, Shock Troopers with the Kovnik, and then the Conquest, you know, how many things can we revisit now...
It's not revisiting because you have the Kovnik now, right? So he changes the game for you a little bit.
But then revisiting Zarkova with those advantages. So because she doesn't do shit for fucking Shock Troopers that are worth a damn. So now that we actually have Kovnik that can sort of pretend like it like enhances the caster, if you want to say it that way, then you have the Conquest. So the idea is you take like Doom Reavers, Shock Troopers, and a Conquest, and depending on how you do it, you can put Spell Ward on either the Shock Troopers or the Conquest. And then you have a huge block of points that can't be targeted by spells, which can be situationally good. And it's been pretty just fucking garbage. She's still terrible. But anyways, other people, like E. Butcher with the Conquest is kind of fun to think about, or some of these other casters. So it's kind
Strakov
of fun to...
Strakov still has a lot of potential there.
Yeah.
Especially with the amount of fire that Menoth players like to bring to the table these days. Just being straight up immune to it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a bad thing.
No. He's got a good spell list, and... he's just an annoying one to play sometimes. He's got some order of activation things you gotta.
Strakov's one of those guys. So back in the old days, these days are gone. This is totally it's not tournament viable anymore, and it's gotten away from us a little bit anyways because of the quality AoE troop removal things. But I used to just, you could, in Kaldor, you used to be able to play like a Zerkova, and it didn't really matter. All you really needed were 7 focus, or, you know, whatever, focus battery, and a couple things in the background going on. And your army would do the peace trading for you. And those days are totally gone. Your caster has to contribute, like, a little bit. And Strakov is just enough to be super viable. But, I mean, part of the fun thing with him, actually, was rather than, like, worrying about, you know, him getting his little, you know, ejaculation off, rather than trying to shoot your load on someone's face,
whoa,
you can just hold back, do the peace trading game, and then wait till they can't do anything about it.
Are we talking about Kador or Cock right now?
Kador, yeah. Kador, more specifically. Yeah. But anyways. Yeah, we're just not that. We're not that cool fashion anymore. But I don't think anybody is. I think everybody needs their sweet, you know, casters to be doing something, which really sucks.
Yeah. It's transitioned more and more to, I mean, it's clear that that was the intent from the beginning, was that the caster would be the core, and that the caster had to contribute to be somewhere. I mean, that was clearly the intention, so it's nice that they're reaching that point, but...
And to touch on that, too, SR 2013 really made that much more to the forefront, be with domination of the zones and the objectives and stuff.
And the 14-inch kill box, and just everything is pushing casters towards the center of the board
more. And I think that was a really good move.
That was less to force casters into being useful in the army, and more to prevent the old, I sit on the table edge and don't do anything to avoid an assassination an entire game.
We had that last year, too, with Killbox, and it was even more aggressive Killbox. But now this year we have Dominate, right, which changed the game, I think.
Mm-hmm. I think it gives mid-casters a more viable role
Absolutely.
In tournament. It doesn't necessarily change what people did with the casters who hang back, though.
I disagree. In tournaments lately, you're seeing more of the hang-back casters, like even Sevier stuff, right? Or Vinny, if anyone's playing them, or anybody like that. They're bringing them forward to contest zones, or to dominate zones and flags, whereas they would have just sat back and just chilled the entire game.
I'm not sure Vinny's a good example of that. Well, he kind of likes to be up and...
Yeah, he's a pocket caster.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've seen him back.
I actually missed the gamut of viability. Yeah. A lot of people, there's sort of a gamer mentality of like, the game should be played in the middle of the table, page 5, blah, and it's like, your casters are going to basically ram like Highlanders in the middle of the fucking table. If it doesn't end that way, then what a shitty game. You know, hey, fuck off. Like, you know, you're going to have backline shooty guys like Kane who are just supposed to pester. You should have to play against like the full, you know, there should always be a place for Peace of Arius, you know, to just hang back and be sweet and buff the army, or Pete Vlad doing the same thing. And then there should be guys like Terminus rocking the front line and guys in the middle, you know.
Well, there is something to be said for the fluff, too. And some of that comes from fluff bunnies, right? So Vlad's supposed to be up there leading his troops and whatnot, whereas Severius is clearly supposed to be in the back directing things.
Well, Vlad, via the fluff, should be, but Vlad's spell list necessarily isn't necessarily saying that.
Yeah. Well, when you're Blood of Kings and Windwalled, you can do whatever the fuck you want.
Yeah, all they did is give everybody answers to both of those things.
Yeah, so that's true.
Over and over.
Yeah. It's like, oh, sweet, you casted 2 spells I get to ignore with my fucking Mage Hunter Strike Force.
Yeah.
Thanks for, you know, it's like, holy shit. So now they just really kill you. But no, it's...
Yeah, unless you're going up against another Kador player, it's all...
like, oh, God!
Magic ranged attacks anyway.
Yeah. On an altar my other list, I'm screwed.
Yeah. No, yeah. But I sort of missed those days when that was sort of a sweet... You know, you had to game play and against those. But now you really don't have to, because you just go dominate or whatever.
Yeah. Scenario. If they want to stick back, you're just going to get the scenario eventually.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily agree with that. I think casters can sit back and out-attrition you to the point where then they can move up safely. I think P. Vlad's a perfect example of that. He can sit back, cast Signs of Potence, and just do his thing.
Signs of Potence.
Yep.
Potent potables.
Yeah.
I like your way better. Your way's okay.
Yeah, P. Irusk used to be another guy who was sweet like that. You just hang back, just throw out, you know, Iron Flesh and Battle Lust and kind of alternate the two, but just stay way, way, way in the back. And you just leave hangers, like your troop coherency would be, you know, unit leader sort of in the middle of the pack, and then a hanger, you know, as far back as possible that you could sort of rebuff.
The Kadoran arc, no.
Yep, exactly. But no, those days are gone.
For now.
Probably forever. Probably. I mean, unless they completely reblast SR, you know, how SRs work or something.
It's been the SR's trajectory just to move towards the middle of the table.
Although, I do like that things are going more Death Clock-y. It's kind of fun.
Death Clock is...
I love Death Clock.
More fun. Yeah, it's great, but the only problem is they're so expensive.
They're so expensive. And I was hearing Nate and Connors were saying kind of the other day that the games are actually lasting longer in tournaments. It's, you know, you actually don't have those quick rounds because there were, you know, there were just people who just used their whole clock. So, which, trust me, I'm not really sure. I can't imagine how that's an actual thing. When I played time turns, there's some fuckers that would use the, you know, all half my games. That's like the story of my fucking life. Half my games would go to dice down. So I don't know how.
I think
the dice down is your favorite thing in the world, though.
Yeah, absolutely.
Were you playing E-Balter tier list?
No, I was just playing against really slow fuckers.
And there's a lot of gaming of the clock when it's not Death Clock by a portion of the community that specifically games for dice down.
Well, you can look around and see, I mean, most of everybody else is already done, and you start jamming things in zones, right? You're kind of gaming for it at that point.
Yep. Especially when they jam their shit in zones and then waste 4 minutes looking at their caster like, what am I going to do? When you know they're just going to run behind a wall or whatever. It's like, fuck off. They've got to really like, oh gosh, I could run behind this wall or run behind this building. And I'm going to spend 6 minutes deliberating.
Yeah, and some people can make the argument that that's part of the game and that's solid gameplay, but yeah, I personally think you're a fucking douche if you do that.
I think the actually same people who argue that dives in soccer is a strategy, though.
Yeah. I actually think, to be honest, I 100% agree with that. It is a thing, and it is just part of the game. If that's what the rules are going to be, if they're allotted, 10-minute turns, they should just take their 10-minute turns. Like, I mean, I've had people purposely sort of game the clock a bit. And I'm not mad that they're doing it, because they should. I'm pissed that that's sort of
the way the game
what's
works.
Allowed.
That's the allowed. You know, it's, yeah, I mean, you know, if you're on the other end of it, you know, when you're playing the game, it's sort of like, how do you survive? If you're in an actual survival situation, you're not going to let some sort of stupid set of, you know, you're going to basically go as far as you can take it without.
To a degree, you're still gaming the rules, though, because the rules do say to keep moving forward. There's rules against just, like, wasting your 10 minutes. You can't just, like, walk away and come back when your timer's over to
hemming and hawing over all your dudes. It's like, it's policing sort of that behavior. It's like, there sort of gets to be a ticky-tack sort of going the other way.
Yeah, but even so, it's still not fun for your opponent. I mean, there is a certain amount of balancing for fun you have to do.
Yeah, which is where Death Clock comes in for me, is it's the truest version of the game in its sort of most sacred or unmolested form, which is playing somebody without worrying about time. You know, the secret of the game or the fun of the game is playing on a Wednesday night with no time restriction and just enjoying the fucking game for what it is.
And then going to somebody with a 3-hour turn.
Yeah. So be it. I mean, as long as you like the person, I mean, you're just hanging out. I mean, you know, if you go see a 3-hour movie, as long as you like the movie,
there's a couple guys that play down at our shop locally, and it's awesome guys. Love hanging out with them, but holy Jesus, I can't stand 4-hour games.
Yeah, I just don't enjoy the game I get when you put those guys under a timer, which is, you know, sweaty, spazzy, knocking miniatures over, shitloads of mistakes. You know, it's just not worth it. It's like, I'd rather just take a 3-hour game.
Going back and forth.
Death Clock yo-yos sort of solves that. It gives you a competitive environment or a competitive framework to kind of fence them in a little bit, but you're still comfortable when you're taking your turns. And if they Death Clock themselves out, so be it, or whatever. But you've got an honest sort of several turns.
And like you're saying, Death Clock is typically more of a forgiving format anyway, because new players actually do better in Death Clock because they can do their whole turn and then just be done. And like I said, if they Death Clock themselves, oh well, but with the time turn, they're just under the crunch the entire time.
The game's really a 3-turn game, so you should just basically try to win the game by turn 3, be it via an assassination or scenario, or give yourself a path to victory. So once that's done, say you get 45 minutes for each person's death clock, use 30 of your 45 getting through 1 through 3, and then, you know, if you death clock yourself out because the game randomly ran to 10 turns or something, oh well, you know, but you really should be playing quality turns 1 through 3, and 1 you can skip because you're just running forward and allocating focus and just doing really quick shit. So you really just, your all your time should go into basically 2 turns, and those are the, you know, those are always sort of the, this is where the game goes turns, and then this lets you to do that. Whereas the kind of inflexible, oh, you get like a little extension. Blah, blah.
Although there are players who play super defensively and try not to lose pieces and try to, their games tend to go longer.
The other great thing about Death Clock is how intuitive and easy it is to, I'm a little bit flexible on, like, if someone's taking tough checks on my turn or whatever, it's like, hey, whatever, you know, I'm comfortable enough in my playing that I'll eventually get it fast enough where it won't matter. But if they are fucking hemming and hawing, you get to sort of hit their little button. That button's pretty easy. You don't have to, like, take the timer off the table and, like, pause it and then remember to pause it. They'll never fucking forget. They'll never forget to put the timer back on yours, you know, so after they're done fucking around, marking their damage grids or whatever.
Yep.
So that part's so awesome, is that you just have that little thing, you just press a little button, and then they're on the clock, and they get to sort of get flustered and hurry up. If they want to bullshit and talk about their fucking, like, cell phone plans or whatever, you get to just put it on their time. And
it's also nice to get rid of the Minnesota Nice thing, but you just push it over, and it's like you don't even talk about it. It's just,
yeah.
You know, it, there's no room for, like, oh, if you're not a douche, you'll let me do this. It's like, no,
yep.
click the clock.
And yeah, the first part of it, everyone loves it, but it's just so expensive to do. It'd be nice if we had a better alternative than the chess clocks.
Yeah, that's what's really exciting about this Madison tournament next weekend, is that it's going to be, if all death clock. 20 players or less, it'll be all death clock, which is pretty exciting, actually.
Yeah, it's something you have to build into, though.
Yep.
You just can't. It's so expensive to go out and buy enough for a medium-sized tournament
off the bat. You know, it'll be interesting to talk to Carnage about how they pulled it. Did they just have a bunch of tournaments, and they sort of allotted like 30% of the prize supports towards death clocks every time and slowly built up? Because I know for a long time it was like the final tables, you know, like the final rounds would be death clock, and then it would expanded, you know. Yep. So that's, you know,
privateer. You should let your PGs spend their points on death clocks. They don't all need models.
That's true.
That's not a bad idea.
I know you're listening.
Yeah,
that's a crap.
The privateer press made a death clock.
Yeah.
As long as they're not like GW ones where they're all like full of skulls.
Just a huge skull with,
POSs.
Yep. You already broke the seal on Kickstarters. Let's get our Death Clock Kickstarter going.
Oh, yeah.
There you go. Episode 2, and we're already milking you for money. So, we also wanted to start talking about hobbying.
Well, hang on. We didn't do Ryan's Dojo.
Oh.
Okay.
Oh, Jesus.
Ryan's Dojo.
Oh. Doge.
Yeah, back to the cock. Somehow we always end up back at the cock.
So you've got four models. That's sweet.
Yeah. Man, I got two more models this week. It's pretty much a legit faction now, except that what came out this week is probably the stuff I'm least excited about within the faction.
But they're chicks that fly.
Yeah, the models look cool.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they look sweet. Kind of want to paint them.
It's Daughters of the Flames with wings.
Yeah.
How could you be mad?
Backpack, I mean, wings.
They're not the worst models. They just don't fit with having only jacks right now. They really need something to come up with them to help them out. The new Casper Aurora, she has some potential for assassination runs with refuge on her feet, the ability to charge in, hit an enemy model, refuge 7 more inches, and then spend your one on your flashing blades to try to hit their caster. But to set it up, you have to be able to get a single model, it doesn't really matter which, from one of your little three packs of angels on their caster to get flank bonus. Because once you get the flank bonus, she's Mad 8 Weapon Master. She can actually do something to most casters at that point. Without getting someone in there, you have a problem. And that's where the problem comes into play, is that those, they have flight, but they don't have any way to avoid free strikes. So getting them there is a problem. Because on her feet turn, she has to go after them. So they can't get the refuge
to get over. It's still a 14-inch threat. So she's got, what, a 17-inch threat of refuge, like charging and refuging?
So you apparition to start.
So it's a 19-inch threat.
Yep.
And then they have a 16-inch engagement threat with apparition.
Yep.
No, they don't get it. That's her battle group.
Oh, yeah. Oops, okay, so 14.
Yep.
So there's those two things happening, but they're sort of the anchor that sort of slows it down.
Yep.
So I have a question. Do you think that they'll be legit once you have a full release? Because I don't see it.
I think there could be lists where it's more, I don't think they're going to be tournament lists.
Okay.
Where you're running her. Because the other four casters, I mean, she's clearly on paper the worst, and even with other models coming in, I can't see a way where I'd want to play her over, like, Lucent or...
Well, what about viability in that, rather than trying to kill casters, just that sort of E-Kane first strike ability where she casts refuge on herself, they run up and engage something that's just on the front line like a beast, and then she runs up, stabs it, and then runs away. You know, she can just stab it, spend flashing blade a bunch of times, and then zip out.
It could work. I mean, you only get the one refuge, so you have the one turn where you can try to get the heavy hit in, and it could be...
But she flies, so that can cover a lot of crazy shit. Like, she could get on the other side of a woods, or, I mean, with a 7-inch move.
Yeah, depending on your setup, how you can position, there could be some times there. But yeah, she doesn't offer the utility to the rest of the faction that a lot of the other casters do to bring them together. I mean, it's refuge for your battle group is neat, but it's no auto repair or bulldoze for your whole battle group, or, you know, all of the other options that are out there. And she doesn't have her spells. She has one spell I really like.
Whoa, her whole battle group gets refuge?
Yes.
So that's not even a spell?
No, her whole battle group gets apparition.
Oh,
her feet is refuge.
Oh, that's her feet?
Yep. Yeah, it's not that great of a feat.
So, I mean, she does, like, the only thing I could see her being legit in is, like, a medium infantry spam with those guys that, like, revive them. Because, I mean, she's basically an infantry caster with transference and...
Yeah, transference with a corollary can set up a pretty interesting turn.
And true path, like, I mean...
And true path is one of the better ways to get Pathfinder... for them. But the faction, I think, revolves more around the battle group than it does around your infantry most of the time. She's probably going to be the best for the infantry casting, but I don't think that that together is going to make her better than the other casters.
Do you feel like now that they have CLC, we're trying to like go back towards battle group heavy, jack smashing things?
I think the what they've done with the focus mechanic in CLC with jacks being able to share focus effectively does help with that. I think the corollary being kind of like a super squire is something that really helps with being able to run a battle group. So I think they are trying to make it easier to run a heavier battle group than you can in a lot of other factions. I mean, time will tell once we actually have the infantry on the table, because they do have some good infantry options.
They do.
And they have the great guy who can bring back infantry options. I mean, basically having better shock troopers with that can be repaired and brought back is pretty awesome. So we'll kind of see where it ends up. But I think that the spell lists and feats that the other casters have offer more to the faction overall.
Than those two spells, basically.
Yeah. I mean, she has admonition, but they don't have like a super solo.
Besides her.
Yeah. It's for her, basically.
Yep. It can help keep your jack safe, too. But
yeah. Right now, as it stands, she's really just... If you wanted to put her on the table with what's out, it'd be to try to make an assassination run.
Yeah.
And it's the same problem that there will be for a couple of months yet, that there's just not enough to make it work.
Yep, yep.
Cintherian does work with what's out there up to about 35 points, but he doesn't work well without some help.
Yeah, after that, there's too many things to counter him.
Yep, he was working really well at this 25-point Mangled Metal.
Yeah, in Mangled Metal, he's amazing.
Yep.
Yep. Like, the entire time I was looking at lists for this, I was kind of like wishing it was softcore instead of Mangled Metal. I was like, oh, I can have this, and this. Oh, no, Scarlock.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because he is all of the utility that other factions get from solos for his jacks.
Yep.
So he really runs them well. It's like having P-Vlad.
No, he was doing a lot of work today. Punching people in the face.
This format also, it made me sort of think about Magic in that you've got limited, standard, block, you know, so on, so on. And your deck style changes quite dramatically based on, you know,
what's available.
What bracket you're in, basically.
Yep.
And it's kind of the same thing. So when you have 25-point Mangled Metal, it's like, all of a sudden, some casters get pretty neat to think about.
Yeah.
That are normally garbage.
Well, one thing that was neat was people were playing Gorshade, and it's Mangled Metal. Oh, there's Unit of Veins.
Yep, exactly.
Or I was playing 3 Gatsby, and, you know, there's no units or attachments, but I have a free arc node in Vociferon.
Yep, and one of the ways Magic does to sort of make those deck builds sort of cycle a little bit is they're big formats, so they have like quarterly sort of, well, actually it's almost like biannually. I think it's like half the year's standard and the other half is like Legacy or whatever, Modern.
It's quarterly.
Is it quarterly?
Okay. My rage level is rising as we talk about Magic.
We're good.
It wouldn't hurt War Machine if they figured out, you know, which quarter the big events were. So it's like War Machine Weekend, Daikon, Lock and Load, and Gen Con or whatever, and then rotate what the primary focus of the format would be so that certain list builds would be different, you know? So you could actually, you wouldn't just constantly jam out the same garbage over and over and over and over with people, you know, desperately trying to polish turds and be original, but it's sort of, and then it's just running into the same old E. Haley, E. Gatsby's.
Yeah.
So I'm hearing is that War Machine Weekend Master should be Highlander?
Something, I mean, oh yeah, that'd be awesome. I mean, it's sort of like everybody wants Masters to be Masters, like, you know, 50-point SR 2013, you know, let's just go. But maybe there's, you know, quarterly events where Masters has a different format, where it could be 25-point Mangled Metal Masters or...
Yeah, save the standard format for, like, the big Lock and Load event or something. Yeah. Have the other events something that's a little more interesting now.
Yeah, and you have SR, you know, you have your 50-point SR be one of the feeders into that Masters, but the, you know... You're going there sort of expecting the big dog tournament to be
kind of
weird format.
Well, do you think that just encourages, like, jank lists that have a gimmick? And
That's the whole point. I'd love to see some jank lists. Well, that are, you know, I mean, at least, like, those are different.
Well, do you want some retarded guy in the finals because he has, like,
look,
a super game.
I'm not against lucky. Handicap people advancing. I don't know what you have against people with disabilities, but
it's just a different series of metas.
Yeah,
I mean
exactly.
Well, you could say that E. Gatsby's a bunch of jank shit I don't want to see in the tournament either.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, but
I agree.
A weird Darius Karchev meta where those guys are like the top tier guys would be pretty interesting.
Well, I think that's the difference is they're trying to get away from the rock paper scissors mentality, right? Mm-hmm. So, I mean. With that kind of format, you do end up with a very matchup-dependent win record, right? Mm. Whereas with SR, you got the two lists, and it's a little bit more about
it's ultimately pretty well dominated by it's a set number of casters.
Well, yeah.
It's the same thing as Magic. I mean, Magic, no matter what format, there's going to be like the top 12 deck lists, and they're called like a pod deck and a whatever deck and a douche deck and a Naya deck and whatever. And they're called, you know, all the decks have names. Essentially, the War Machine breaks down the same way. You could basically have the top 12 army lists and call it something, and there's a little bit of variance between them, you know, depending on who plays. But it's essentially, and no matter what format, you would immediately get the top 12 would get in line and you'd figure it out pretty quick.
Yeah.
But at least you know. At least you're seeing different things. So,
and the meta shift differently with new releases.
Yeah,
like one new model could really shift your mangled metal meta.
Yeah,
but not your SR meta.
Yeah, and part of the fantasy there is touching exactly what Ryan's saying.
Yeah,
is a lot of their cards when they released are designed to only be good in standard or in limited. So it's like you'll see a lot of things that you'll only use in draft that are great, but they would fucking be stupid in a modern draft or in a modern tournament or a standard, you know, a block, whatever. So, the War Machine would be the same way. So, a Juggernaut would be great in, like, a limited format, but you would never see it in, like, a real...
And then a standard.
Yeah.
Because
it's garbage otherwise.
Yeah. Let's not go too far. It's just not as good as your other options.
Mm-hmm.
Hence garbage.
It's not a Slayer.
Like, for example, how fun would this be? You go to a tournament.
Mm-hmm.
You go to a tournament. You figure out... Everybody reports, this is the faction of what I intend to play.
Yep.
They don't even have to tell what miniatures they brought. They bring whatever they can bring. And then you take the deck of Cotter cards, all the Cotter players sit around at a table, and then you draft. So then they have to actually draft the Cotter cards.
That'd be weird.
Yeah, so all the casters would be a stack, and one person would grab that. All the jacks would be a stack. All the units would be a stack. All the souls would be a stack. And you would hand those out, and then they would draft and pass to the left. And so then, basically, whatever you drafted, you can try to make a list out of whatever.
Well,
you draft.
In that case, wouldn't like the person who gets the first one get the best thing?
But you're getting,
it could be like Cube too, where in Magic there's a format where you have all the cards. Everyone's going to get kind of the same pods going around.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
And it's not as random.
Okay,
yeah.
So you kind of set up a hand for each person of cards.
I won't lie, I'm getting excited thinking about this now.
But how many? Like, say there's 12 Cotter players.
You could start playing Magic. It'd be the same thing.
Oh my god!
Yeah,
shut the hell.
Except not as fun.
Yeah,
because then you play Magic when you're done instead of War Machine.
Yeah, so you have solos, units, UAs, jacks, casters, battle engines. Is that basically it?
I would take UAs out because
I'd put UAs with the units.
Yeah, with the unit.
It depends.
Because then you can get the UA for one and the unit for another, and it doesn't work.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
That's hate drafting. I've never heard of hate drafting.
It could be a hate draft. Yeah.
Oh, exactly. My God. Like, I just took the underboss just because I wanted to fuck hard.
That's draft strategy. So the reason why that's sort of...
And there's nothing saying you'd only have to have one of each in there.
Yeah, There's nothing saying that.
Yeah.
And then B, that's sort of the fantasy is you'll draft a card, and you're hoping that the card that complements it swings, but it might not. So if you draft Iron Fang Pike and UA... But then when your units comes around, they're gone. You're sort of like, oh, shucks.
What do you do if you only have one scoring player?
Well, then he gets to just have a fucking sweet draft.
He plays the list he wants to play.
Which it would be actually pretty sweet if you wanted to play Retribution or Cult of Seer, something that's underrepresented in, you know, Pirates or something.
I guarantee you'd start to see representation even out from the players who want to win just based on the fact that they can get what they want out of the draft.
Correct,
So they can play jank lists out of draft.
Fantastic. That'd be great.
We should run a tournament like that.
All right. I'm down.
We can put some rules together.
Yeah. There you go. You heard it here.
Yeah.
Just we'll to see if it shakes things up.
Something.
Draft House War Machine.
Yeah. Caught limited, you know.
Yeah. War Machine limited.
Yeah.
I think it would be fun.
Yeah, we'll try it out.
It could be fun. And half the part of drafting is when you're not playing, just the fucking
it's just hanging out and
swinging cards around the table and sort of like, what the fuck? And people sending the wrong signals and all that.
Yeah.
The hardest part will be figuring out mercs. Like, it mixed in with everything else.
Yep.
Till I, like, punch some dude out because he drafted E-Butcher.
I would say that just mercs are their own faction and you don't mix them with other people's shit. So, like, the Cotter pod, wouldn't have access to Wish Nailer.
Oh my god.
That does kind of hinder a lot of things. But it, I know, it is limited.
But it's limited. That's the whole point.
Yeah, that's a different format. Yeah. So.
Oh, that's because the Merc players have to have the Merc shit.
So you know what we're going to do then, right?
What?
There will be like four Cossack Woodmen in that stack.
Yeah.
We'll just stack it up.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
They're available for sale. Do you, right over here on this wall.
Do you have to play them if you draft?
Well, no. You would make
you draft more than is needed to build a list.
Although one thing we'll have to make note of is that we have to have like every person in the draft has to have access to all those models, right?
No, you don't. That's the whole point. Is you're trying to draft models you have access to, because if you fuck that up, then that could also be a problem.
Oh, well, yeah. That is kind of a pay to win then, because then if you've paid to have all those
models. Well, hey, that's good for for the hobby.
Uh-huh. Let's face some facts about War Machine players. We're weak-willed. We buy everything.
That is not an effing lie.
Yep. I think between Jacks and stuff, you should be able to, because, I mean, you would think, like, there's only one representation of each character Jack. They're sort of like legendaries. But like the basic Jacks, like there'd be three Juggernauts, three Marauders, three whatevers.
Yeah.
So you should be able to just make a crappy list based on your collection, you know.
And you know, and that's a good point, that in Magic and stuff, you do end up with just a bad luck of the draw.
Yep.
And if you're a really good player, maybe you pull it out.
Exactly.
And if you really wanted to make it crazy, you could have multiple rounds with drafts at different points so that the lists change.
This is, for some reason, I feel
that'd
like this
be really crazy.
Absolutely random form. This will be like a form rebuttal of like 8 pages.
Yeah. All from Lusk. We just 100% from Lusk.
Put on blast by the whole forum.
Yeah. Fuck you. Not Magic.
So find us on the forums. Let us know what you think.
Yeah. We don't read those anymore.
Oh, crap. We're going to have a crump around with this one.
But then who's
whatever,
the boss?
Brian.
You know, who's the boss?
Oh, I'm going to come over this table in a minute.
That's a really good point. I mean, who the boss was of the janky, like, a fun tournament.
The whole point is to make this weird janky list hoping that you get Epic Kane or Epic Haley or whoever.
Yep.
Somebody sweet.
Yeah, some ridiculous combo.
Karchev and Bronzebacks.
Epic Kaya.
Yep. That was the one that won the craziest combination at the last Mayhem Cup. Karchev and Bronzebacks.
Oh, my God. Oh. Yeah.
This sounds complicated.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, this one...
We'll get drunk first. It'll work out fine.
This thing would have to be pay to win, because there is no way I would let somebody, like, use my Conquest or something. There's just, you know, like, I couldn't just have everybody, like, hey, let's put all of our models in a pool and then do that.
Yeah.
I don't want to retrieve those at the end of the day, and I don't want to grubby
really
Cheeto fingers.
Don't have to try to clean them.
Yeah, exactly.
Have you ever used wet wipes on a cloth?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm just going to go dip this in bleach. Hang on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Maybe try some of that Never Wet on them first before.
Yeah. That was actually a pretty good idea, actually. I wonder how Never Wet would work on models. Well, that could be legit.
Well, here's, if they're painted, the problem is that it's not a clear coat.
Yeah.
It's a...
it's whitish.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. It's a cloudy coat.
I wonder how that works then on, like, snow bases. Because one of the problems with snow bases, even if you... So, like, baking soda you can't use because it just absorbs the elements and turns yellow or brown.
Yep.
But even regular snow turns into sort of... It just takes on everything around it.
Yeah, over time.
Yeah, so I wonder if, like, Never Wet would help basing.
So it's like real snow.
Yeah, exactly.
It turns yellow.
Yep. Correct.
And then your kids try to eat it.
Yep.
Snow cones.
Yeah, I basically just need like 8 cans of Never Wet and spray it on everything in the house, though. I was just like watching it on like, down here at Tower, for example, 15 feet away from us, there's basically an oil spill in the bathroom from somebody fucking destroying the toilet. And it would be like, what if we just sprayed the toilet Never Wet and then the plunger and Never Wet and then
nobody
the scrub
will
brush.
Ever able to stay on there, so they just slip right off.
No, your ass will connect. It's just
unless you're sweaty.
It's just the toilet will never be sweaty. The toilet will never look like a glazed donut. It'll just sort of, it'll always be this pristine toilet.
And the floor is a different story, though.
We'd have to Never Wet the floor. Yeah.
You need
exactly.
To, like, install a drain.
We would just spray everything, because we have a drain in the middle, so it would basically run from the bathroom all the way through the main room into the drain in the middle of the floor.
That sounds awesome.
So people would just see these streams of piss coming out of the floor. Yeah. You fucking missed, asshole.
Here, social justice in there.
Yeah, as long as it's just piss, you're good.
We'd make a nice little, like a nice slender ramp from the bathroom straight down into it, so everybody role playing could just watch the trails of piss run past them.
Just to slip inside for those
nice
adventures.
Fucking job. Fucking William Tell of pissing.
And then you got to make the walk of shame after you miss through all the Pathfinder guys.
Yep.
Get one of those little frogs that croaks whenever it's in water in your basement.
It was like a yellow. It was like a yellow T-1000 was trying to reform in the middle of the floor over here. It just went in the drain.
Apparently, Pathfinder groups and War Machine players aren't the best at bathroom etiquette.
No. It's actually the randoms, the board gamers. So Pathfinder's actually okay, and War Machiners are okay. It's those weirdies, the some of the board game groups. L5R board gamers, and then weird, like, historical gamers. So they'll come in with, like, their tinfoil hats or whatever and just fuck the bathroom.
That was a real thing, by the way.
Yeah. Now, today, granted, it was War Machiners role players, one of the two, but... Normally, they're pretty good about the bathroom situation.
They just got too excited about getting back to the table.
Yeah. Oh, and kids. Kids are also, because kids love nothing more than basically turning their, mummifying their hand, shoving it up their ass, and then putting that in the bath, in the toilet. They just turn it into this giant fucking fish-shaped Q-tip. That's the only way I can get at this poop.
And then they wipe it on the wall.
Yeah. If it's basically not a cotton fucking motorcycle seat, it's not gonna do the job.
Oh God!
God, what am I? I'm breaking you guys. What the heck?
Thanks, Obama.
Thanks. Son of a bitch.
Mandatory bathroom education for all of the children.
Your wife's running around teaching like people how to eat healthy, but no one's teaching them how to wipe their ass. That's way more important.
That should be the first thing you learn.
Yeah, that's... especially vegan shits. Yeah, you could build houses out of that. Is not friendly. Yeah,
they do, actually.
Yeah. I mean, it's literally a brick. And it's unfortunately a round hole it's got to try to shove down. So if they ate more than 3 carrots, it's fucking not going to work.
Oh, God. I can't even breathe right now. Yeah. Holy shit.
The rage of a year of GameStar ownership. Finally surfacing.
Yeah. Nothing else bothers them as much as what happens in that bathroom. Yeah.
Think about hedgehogs.
Yeah, think about hedgehogs. Get my happy place. Yeah. Oh, the audio. Hedgehogs are sweet, guys. I recommend.
How's that going?
Leodio is super sweet. He's potty trained himself. Daddy. He's like the smartest hedgehog ever. He's actually he's kind of funny because he's, I don't know if I've properly socialized him, so he's a little bit of an introvert. And basically what that means is when you poke him, he gets like hissy and pissy. And then eventually you'll grab him. You have to like get through his little like, you know, he's basically going to crab out as you sort of try to pick him up. But once he's picked up, he's fine. But the interesting thing is he's actually social in his own way. Like, so I've got like a gerbil ball. It's like a clear ball. Yep. He actually follows me around the house. So like, he wants nothing to fucking do with me when I'm like pulling him out of his cage, or even like when I put him on the bed and I just try to sort of play around whatever. And he's sort of like, get the fuck away. And you know, I just want to explore. But if I put him in a little plastic ball, I think he feels that if I get out of his line of sight, there's no way he's going to get out of that plastic ball again. So he literally just follows me around the house forever. It's amazing. It's like, oh, suddenly you're like, you know, so I'll walk to the next room and I'll be making a sandwich or whatever. And all of a sudden this little plastic ball will start bumping into my leg. So it's like, oh, you found me.
It smells sandwich.
Yeah.
Or he's no, like,
I just
want,
I think he's just like, get me the fuck out of here. I got to get in the vents.
It's hedgehog Stockholm syndrome. Yeah.
Brian's losing his shit right now.
Just ejecting lice all over the house.
Yeah, I'm tempted to get a hedgehog just because I think it would be fun to watch my cats melt when they can't kill it.
Totally melt.
Hedgehogs are so cute, it's retarded. Like, especially if you just watch them in their cage. Again, they're not like really social critters. The only thing that they'll do is cuddle. They don't really like play with toys or fight with your finger or anything like a cat or a dog. But
they latch on good, though, I hear.
Yep, they fucking will bite the shit out of you if you get them thinking that your hand is chicken. They will not let go. They, one of the, like, Leodio, he'll like lay up against the side of the cage. So I've got like a little like hut that he can go hide in and play or sleep. But he likes to actually just wedge himself in the bedding against the side of the bowl or against the side of the pen I've got him in. And then it's clear, so you can just see him. And he'll turn, eventually he'll just get, especially after he eats, he does this, he'll like beach himself sideways. So he's just like exposed, and he's like a perfect sphere. And it's like this pink underbelly with like 4 limbs that just shoot out. And he's just so lazy and ridiculous. And he just like does that all day. And then he has dreams like a dog does. And so he starts like, dup, 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 as he starts like sort of randomly flexing his, you know, one of his legs will start running from something or towards something, whatever, chasing after a cricket or something.
The hand chicken. Yep. Trying to find it again.
And then so he's sitting there doing that and you'll wake up and you'll be like, oh, the audio. And you'll like poke his belly. Immediately turns into a ball of anger. Fuck you, dude. I showed you my sensitive side.
You ruined the best dream ever.
Yeah.
You son of a bitch.
Yeah, stop waking him up when he's in the middle of those harems.
That's all he fucking does is sleep and think about banging hedgehog chicks.
And running on his little...
Yeah, running on... He loves his little hamster wheel. Again, that's the other thing is he potty trained himself, which is great. But then he likes to actually like play like little hedgehog volleyball in there. And then he gets covered in fucking urine-soaked cat litter. And then he takes, once he's good and coated in that, he goes into the hedgehog wheel and gets it all off. He has to like air dry himself. But that just makes like a racket. So you just hear this like, as someone's throwing a bunch of pebbles in a dryer and they all go shooting out. You're like, fucking goddamn it, Leodio. It's 4 a.m. But he's sweet, though. I've actually gotten to the point where I can sleep through his shenanigans, so.
Has Brian gotten to that
point? Yeah, it's just in my room, so he's in a totally different, yeah.
Sweet. Yeah, not a problem there. And he hasn't even hit the vents yet.
Nope, he hasn't gotten to the vents yet.
He's working on it, though.
Yeah, actually, he has. Every time I put him in the bed, he can, like, sense it. He grounds right for that corner. So, son of a bitch.
He's also been working on his pole vaulting skills with the toilet paper.
With the toilet paper roll? Yep, they like to go tubing. And mine likes to sort of, he gets his head stuck in there and he jams the corner. So I'm pretty sure he's trying to pole vault, like, get enough momentum that he pole vaults out. But
I wonder, someday he'll escape.
Like, when he turned off the lights, he, like, starts thinking about how he's going to, like, escape. And then, like,
if I ever wake up, like, 3 a.m, whatever, and I look over, he's clearly trying to get out. Like, he's
rubbing his goatee, thinking thoughtfully.
Yeah. If he sees movement, then he's like, uh-oh. And then he immediately goes into, like, I'm just sleeping under the hedgehog wheel, yeah. But I have woken up, and I look over, and he's, like, standing on his hind legs with his upper arms just, like, stretched out. So he's, like, basically laying flat against the side, you know, standing up, upright, trying to get out. Like, you fucker.
I've done nothing but give you everything you wanted.
Yeah. Yeah. But then he sees this, like, oh, his head moved. I'm going back down. You know, like, I wasn't doing anything.
I'm going to go piss and roll in it.
Yeah, exactly.
So basically it's Hogan's Heroes for hedgehogs.
Yeah.
He just hasn't gotten the tunnel built yet.
Yeah. But they are like the coolest looking critters ever. You can't go wrong with hedgehogs.
I know nothing.
Mm-hmm. Dude, I had snapping turtles as a kid.
That's ridiculous.
Like, legit snapping turtles. And they would eat raw chicken.
Holy shit.
And they would like tear it off your fucking fingers.
Yeah, yeah. I would not get my fingers near a fucking snapping turtle.
Yeah. Or my cat tried once.
Anything.
Once.
Yeah. They have to cut the fucking head, snap her head off to get the
No, cat. She survived. She was down a couple whiskers, though.
Oh, okay.
You know, had to get you know who cat. Would put their fun. Finger in cuddle a snapping
Caleb?
Turtle?
Caleb.
Cuddle Caleb.
Yeah, Cuddle Caleb. He'd try to breastfeed it. He would just put it right up to his tit and then just like, oh my God, I won't let go.
Well, apparently he wrestled a bear when he was young.
Yeah.
What?
A bar.
Up north.
Yeah.
Do stuffed animals count? Is that what he said? Yeah.
Well, I mean,
like a Calvin and Hobbes thing?
It seemed a lot bigger at the time.
Oh, okay.
It was a week old. It couldn't even open its eyes.
Yeah, but he beat it.
Yeah.
Hmm.
And that's how we all feel when we play him in War Machine. He's listening.
Use a clock. Speaking of getting here to play, we're doing a 50-point SR 2013 on August 10th.
Yep. So August 3rd, War Machine in Madison, and then August 10th next week. War Machine back up here.
Yep.
And then for some of us, on August 17th, War Machine down at Gen Con.
Butcher 3.
You guys literally, are any of you guys going to be playing War Machine at Gen Con?
Yeah, I'm probably going to play some.
Jamie will. Bob will.
That's like the ultimate
sort of. I'm torn. There's just so many other things to do at Gen Con, so.
I'll probably be helping out.
It's the absolute Akbar trap is playing. You feel like if you play too much War Machine, which is a tournament, then you feel like you wasted your weekend.
I'm just going to like do Iron Arena around everything else.
Yeah.
That's my plan.
Yeah. I'm saving my big War Machine binge for War Machine weekend.
Yeah.
Yep.
Because how many games did you play last year?
I played one.
One. Yep.
Wait, of Seven Wonders? Like 80?
Yeah, like 40,000.
Iron Arena never works for me because I play against some random person, and then that person gets to get subjected to me talking to every single person in the, you know, as like everybody comes up, this is what I bought today, and this is what I bought today, because we go down there with whatever 12 people, and then, you know, what else did we want to talk about, guys? Wait. We've got the speed bit we talked about before, which is our full course menu.
Oh, yep.
Come on.
Well, before. The full course list.
The full course army list.
Yep.
All right, so explain.
So we are the four kings, but essentially...
Heavenly kings.
We're the four heavenly kings, but there's more heavenly kings out there in the universe. So actually, on this episode post, we'll have in the thread for people to post their full course army list. But basically, you have an army list that like is made up of all the essential ingredients to being super badass. And I guess we don't know the exact rules on it yet. Do we want to be able to stay in faction or period?
Yeah, so stay in faction.
I don't think it should be stay in faction. I think it really should be
let's go back a minute. What's the point, right?
The point is you want to choose the caster that represents you as a human being, the unit that represents you as a human being, the jack, the light jack, the UA,
the solo,
the battle engine, and so on and so on. So, but it has to be the seven course. It just has to be seven courses.
So seven things?
Yep, seven things that represents your army list. And it could be E-Gaspy with Kazi Assassins.
Okay.
Things that are just badass, that if you wanted to make the ultimate, this is my ultimate list.
And it's not necessarily the most competitive.
Well, it kind of.
If that's who you are, then yes.
It should be competitive for you, by hand.
Yeah. It should.
Some of them will probably have Epic Butcher. You never know.
Yeah.
Oh my God, he's crazy.
It should represent what you think a 5-star list would be.
So go on the forums and tell us what your ultimate list is.
Yeah, but we'll pulse. So I don't even know. I haven't decided a single course yet.
Oh my God. Yeah. No, and it's just not that easy. You gotta play him.
Part of this is the journey.
Like Cyntherian.
Yeah.
He's a great ingredient.
Who?
Cyntherian.
Who?
Bacock.
I don't know what a COC caster
Jesus
is anymore.
Christ. What do you mean, anymore? It just came out yesterday.
We went over this last time.
It's literally not even out yet.
It's a Swiss Army knife. Yeah. You know, the guy has two Swiss Army knives for arms.
I've actually got a Swiss Army knife. You can just put it on like a plastic
blindstand. I've heard him represent him. Yeah.
I've heard him described as an old school like electric razor.
Hmm. Oh, is it his look?
Yeah.
Okay. That's sweet.
Not really.
No. I mean, his body and the arms, I don't know whose idea what that was, but whatever.
Point being, whatever. He's not a thing yet.
He's in the battle box.
So if I'm Cuddle Caleb, what would I have?
If you were Cuddle Caleb?
If I was Cuddle Caleb.
Okay, let's just start with Cuddle Caleb's.
Yeah.
Let's start with his full course menu. It would be a Mountain King.
Yep.
Calandra.
No.
Calandra would have to be.
It would be a Mountain King just for griefing purposes, because then he would just sort of like, not me.
It's a model. It's not my fault I lost. Yeah. Burrowers, because he can't fucking stop talking about it.
Burrowers, yep. And maybe Shock Trooper somehow.
Yeah, somehow you got to get Shock Troopers in there.
Yeah.
That was like all he had.
He did just sell you like 2 units of them.
Yep.
He's probably still got 4 more somewhere.
Yep. We know at least a lot of his components. Genissa Stonetide, he loves that Genissa.
Yeah, I think he's a troll through and through now.
Yeah.
He doesn't even have to go out of faction.
Yep, he just sold all his Kador. He gave up the big red.
Yeah, honestly, you could just basically go down his Calandra list, and that would be his full course menu, because it's just, it's Calandra, Genissa, the full unit of Creel Warriors, Earthborn Dire Troll, Axer. We want it to be 7 things, though. We're already running out. He doesn't use the Battle Engine or anything.
No.
Nope.
But he uses the Rune Shapers. That's like the whole list. Oh, and then the Creel Stone Bear.
That's a strangely legit list, though.
Strangely legit.
Yeah.
That's his full course, but that's basically like this. That's essentially him in a sort of nutshell. And then he plays. So we've figured out somebody's full course menu.
That is way too focused for him.
I know, it's way too focused. Exactly. Yep.
You need to like throw in like
the dwarf and bear and then
like Mage Hunter Strike Force.
Cossite Woodsman, random shit. Yeah.
Alt Nashley, because why not? Mm-hmm.
The choir. I don't even have Warjack, but I brought the choir. There,
and much like Toriko, you're not guaranteed to have even a starting piece yet chosen. But would you guys think that you have one? Like, is E. Butcher your full course menu?
Kind of bad about this, but I think Harkovich is kind of my spirit animal.
Oh, God damn it. That's not the...
You should feel bad about it.
Yeah, I do. Feel bad about that. Harkovich, really?
Your 7-course meal is starting off with Spam.
Because some people like macaroni and cheese for dinner every night.
Okay.
So Harkovich. You think Harkovich?
No. I'm just saying because he's like my totem animal.
Oh.
What, you like channel the inner...
He's got like a giant beard and he's kind of misunderstood and he's not living up to his potential.
Yeah, do you play him?
Maybe.
No.
I used to.
Really?
Yeah, there's the...
Before I died and went to Grix. I played the shit out of him when he came out.
Did you win with him?
Yes.
I played him at a tournament at Gen Con. He beat the Epic Epic Butcher Doom Reaver spam list. That was sweet.
Mm-hmm. We talked about how bad that is. So, not saying much.
All right, Nigel, what about you? You brought it up. What do you think you're...
Well, me and Caleb were sort of earlier arguing that maybe... Well, Caleb said P. Vlad.
Yep.
And then I was like, wait, that'd be on my full course.
Yeah.
But hey.
People of good taste.
It's true. But maybe Epic Sorcia, possibly Epic Haley. I guess I haven't totally decided yet. It's going to require some playtesting and a little journey. And then maybe each week I can add another piece to my menu.
I love the E-Butcher, like, homicidal maniac.
Yeah.
That may be telling about Caleb.
A little bit. But I think P-Vlad is just...
He's your jam.
Yeah, he's just all around, just kick-ass.
If I had to go old school, I haven't really touched him in a while because he's sort of a sacred cow, and I don't want to even experience him in the curtain meta anymore. But Pete Urusk, that's sort of my super jam guy.
So good.
He was so good.
Like, yeah. The entire table just had, like, a look of contention on their face.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I wish I could bring back the old witch. Yeah. I liked playing the old witch. She's not bad, but I liked her more in her previous form.
Mm-hmm.
But, I don't know. I gotta journey down the path of the COC before I can
decide. You had some Scintilla Bite guy or whatever you liked or whatever.
He's not quite good enough, though.
Yeah.
He's a good ingredient. He's not the topping.
You know what? This kind of leads into something that I want to ask about, right? Well, so we're working on newbie stuff, right? Doing demos and whatnot. And if you could describe your faction currently in one sentence, what would it be?
Oh, yeah.
Kador. Well, axe to face.
Yeah.
You know, high armor.
Like for Kador, it'd be like, we're big stompy robots, but we also have really good infantry.
we're one big stompy robot.
Yeah. Yeah, really big.
Yeah. You know, like with Kador, it's just like, we're going to take the alpha and then we're going to like scrap you.
Yeah, but if you're going to talk to like a new player, right?
Yeah.
You tell them, it's like, okay, so we're playing Kador and they are blah.
Yeah, we're slow and we're going to punch you in the face.
Yeah.
I was seeing it upstairs, but I do think Ram Tough Coors Light. I basically, I don't know why, but I feel like that sums it up.
I don't understand the Coors Light part.
Because they're light.
Yeah. That's what they power up by drinking Coors Light. And,
you haven't watched enough Chuck Norris movies to understand any of what Nigel just said.
If driving Ram Dodge Rams out of holes with no shirt on while covered in Coors Light is like sort of, that's Kador in a nutshell. That's just in a scene. That's what Kador does.
Yeah. Wait, but is he glistening in the sun?
He's actually buried. They actually bury his Dodge Ram in a pit covered in dirt. And then to get out, he supercharges his engine, pours Coors Light over himself, shirtless, and then drives right out. Like
he drinks half of it.
He drinks half of it.
Does he supercharge his engine while he's in a hole?
Well, it's a supercharged
engine. Yeah. He hits the button for
supercharging, okay. And then it makes more noise, and he gives him just the amount of horsepower to just get right out of there.
It actually can build a ramp in front of itself.
Yeah,
it's driving out of a hole. It's
it
that
can
good.
Choose which dirt is going to go up on, and as opposed to like through.
So it's like a
boy. It's pretty sweet.
It's a pretty amazing vehicle.
Yeah,
James Bond should have had one.
Yeah, it's basically like a land shark.
Did you hear about the guy in South Africa, really? The James Bond attack? So there's a dude.
Oh yeah. Who had the car with the machine gun and the license plate. Yeah.
Have you heard about this?
No.
So basically, in South Africa, there's this guy who's like an expatriate German, I think he is.
Czechoslovakian or something.
And apparently, he's been worried about death threats forever. And he's driving his armored Mercedes, and he stops. And then the car across from him in the parking lot just like opens up. Like eight barrels just pew! Right? And so someone tried to James Bond him to death.
Yeah, it was all out. It was all like the license plate flipped up, and there was a bunch of guns in there, and it just basically shot the shit out of his bulletproof car.
Yep.
So he didn't get penetrated. And then that car, it was like a fucking gremlin or something. It exploded. Yeah, it started on fire. They showed it, and it looked like it was completely fucked.
Yeah. I think if an assassin was to ever come after me, so that's how I'd want him to do it. I mean,
so it
seriously,
wasn't as much of a James Bond thing as like a Wile E. Coyote.
They apparently decided that like gallon jugs of gasoline would work as a silencer for the gun or something. It was like, I don't know, but yeah, the car was totally fucked.
Yeah, no. He had a good idea, just couldn't carry through on it.
Yep.
Give him an A for effort.
Yeah.
D for execution.
And I was watching like the video and stuff, and the guy was parking at this giant pawn shop. Like, that's where he got attempted to kill.
Coincidentally, that's, where I'm most likely to get killed.
At a pawn shop?
At a pawn shop. They're always hives of scum and villainy.
I watch Pawn Stars, and it's nothing.
Yeah, it's nothing like Pawn Stars. Yeah.
You may be getting a false representation.
Yeah, where you go in there with, like, a Napoleonic sword, and then they give you, $1,600 for your troubles, and you leave.
$7.
Yeah, no, yeah, they give you...
They call a guy who knows a thing.
Yeah.
Give you $7 for it.
Nope, here, in the real world, you bring your Napoleonic sword to the parking lot, and then you get shot in the kneecap and some guy takes it. And then he never quite gets to the exchange part.
Thanks, Obama.
Yeah.
Thanks, Obama.
And if you're lucky, Obama will cover 20% of your hospital bill.
You got to write him a really nice letter, though.
Yeah.
You're so awesome.
I don't know for COC, though. A single.
Yeah, I always think we're a little early on that one.
There's not enough COC yet to define. It's all theory right now.
There
it's all the dojo.
There you go.
Yeah.
Our full course is a journey that
not
we're all starting.
Not enough models, all theory. There you go.
Not even three Gatsby, though, or not even Bane Knights or Bane Thralls.
All talk, no action.
Full course again?
Well, yeah. That's what the CLC
I just saw a squirrel.
Well, what was the COC about?
That's
the
no, we were doing our describe our faction in one sentence.
Oh, holy crap.
I forgot on a tangent.
Hey, cuddle Caleb.
I can't be. Holy crap. We got so far off our one word tangent.
You did just Caleb.
I tried to bring it back. It didn't work.
Yeah. It did not. That absolutely worked. Yeah, you gotta actually come back. I don't know what my one sentence, you can't just say, COC's only been out for 6 weeks. I don't know what to do. So you could be talking about anything.
That's all right. We can talk about that later.
Yeah. All right. So one sentence. COC.
Rock hard cocks.
Yeah. God damn it.
Or underdeveloped flash cocks.
That fly.
Yeah.
There you go.
They're still growing.
Yeah.
Grass not on the field yet.
Yeah. Or willing to play ball.
Oh, come on. Now you're going to get the bronies back on the podcast. Oh, jeez. Yeah. We just scared them away last time.
So if you're listening, go post your ideas somewhere. All right.
So what about
for Cricks? Whatever. We don't even know.
Cricks, I don't know. Like, we're full of bullshit. Yeah. We make everyone else mad at us.
Yeah, those seem fair.
Yeah. We're not as bad as everyone thinks we are.
Den of scum and villainy.
Okay, let's think about it. We'll talk about it later.
Maybe these should be summed up as AC/DC songs.
Oh, Back in Black.
Yeah, Back in Black would be Cricks. Shoot the Thrill would be Signar.
Thunderstruck would be... No.
War Machine is clearly for Kator.
Yeah. Maybe
Thunderstruck would be...
War Machine?
Yeah, that's an AC/DC song.
What?
Yeah.
No, that's Black Sabbath.
No, War Machine? It's on their newest album.
What?
Oh, on AC/DC.
The new albums don't count.
Yeah.
Oh, Iron Man or... Well, yeah, new albums. Yeah, holy crap.
Maybe Thunderstruck would totally be Signar.
Yeah. Thunderstruck would be Signar, yeah.
Ka-chow! Oh, wait, that was Cars.
God damn it.
Everybody will hate me, but Big Guns could be Cotter then.
What's Menoth going to be?
Menoth?
Wait, I'm going to see if there's like a list of songs.
Big Balls could be Trolls.
Menoth could be Westboro Baptist Church.
Dirty Deeds Done Dirt Cheap for Menoth.
No, that'd be Mercs.
That could be Mercs, yeah.
It's clearly
Mercs.
Yeah,
Mercs. That's Mercs.
Yeah.
Stiff Upper Lip could be Menoth.
That could work.
Mm-hmm.
There's an entire AC/DC songs entry in Wikipedia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
List of songs recorded by AC/DC.
Circle would be Those About to Rock. We salute you.
Only for Balder, though.
Yeah. Well, you know.
Is there anyone else in the faction?
Wait. So who would be for the song called Big Jack?
Big Jack?
Big Jack.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's a song.
That could be Cotter, too.
Yeah, that could be.
Here. Hand this to Nigel.
Well, the problem with Big Jack is it's not one of their famous songs.
No.
Cotter has to be a famous song.
But Big Gun.
Big Gun.
That'd be Cotter.
I think it works pretty well. Everything has a big gun that has a gun.
Yeah. Even our dudes that don't shoot have big shield cannons.
Pew pew, St. Inches.
Hey, I saw someone shoot one of those once.
Like 2 weeks ago, I shot, knocked down fin blades. Ka-chow!
Thunderstruck, and then Shoot to Thrill actually could be Retribution.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is a long tangent.
This is a little too long. You're like, fuck you. I hate AC/DC, man.
How can you hate AC/DC?
We should probably rearrange our tangents into the middle of other stuff.
Yeah.
Well, I got like a little...
What's the most hipster douche band you've heard of recently? Let's use their songs.
We should just start reciting Shakespearean plays on our podcast to help people paint.
Well, I have always wanted to have the classics as read by Flanders and Casey, who happen to be upstairs right now. But it'd be like Moby Dick, and then the two of them would be like summarizing. If you've ever had buddies who are like... Summarize, they can't actually use their words when they summarize stuff. So then Queequeg was like, what? And fucking Ahab was like, nah, fuck off. And Moby was like, shit, fucking shit. And they're like, whoa, God, Jesus. And then you're just, you haven't used words. You haven't like put together a sentence in like 20 minutes. And you've somehow gone through the entire fucking book. But anyways, that would be awesome if like those two summarize the classics.
We could have them just, it doesn't even have to be the classics. We could go through Game of Thrones.
Yeah, well, the classics, though, you know, because it's, you know, how would he interpret the best of times, it was the worst of times, you know, like, just like, how would they...
It was Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Well, it was kind of like, but then, like, fucking sweet.
How does the last Pori Horror come into this one?
Yeah. So this, like, guy, fucking clown shoes, was, like, sculling it. And then he was, like, fucking dude. The thing was just, like, fuck, what? Fuck off. He was, like, oh, shit.
We'll transcribe all of those podcasts, and we can probably make a movie out of that when we're done.
Yep.
It'll still be better than Star Trek.
Okay. We now bring you another episode of Focus of Fury's Masterpiece Theater. Holy crap. He's going to listen to this. He's so pissed.
We're going to die.
I'll bring an effigy of Brian in, though. Focus your rage.
Yeah. 40K.
Well, how long have we been recording? Is it TV time or what?
Yeah, let's do it.
It's probably TV time. A half hour ago.
I think in the past... Oh, you know what? By the way, welcome to episode 99 of Focus Imperium. Yeah.
If you made it to this point, you get a prize.
You finally get to know what episode it is.
That's, that's definitely our title for this.
So our 99th TV is... I'm going to go with Bathroom Shitters.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, now I don't know who to nominate. I mean, that one's kind of got my vote going.
Yeah. I don't think anniversary...
Game over, man! Game over!
I don't think we're not going to vote for that. Mm-hmm. That's the worst.
Yeah, that's literally a puddle right there.
Yeah, has anyone tried to figure out what that puddle is yet?
No. Going near. Yeah, I'm not going to go in there like that fucking miner on the Christmas movie or whatever. Like, gold! It's not going to... I don't care what it is. It'll evaporate eventually, and then after that I might mop it.
So it's not a Resident Evil game. Yeah. You don't have to lean down and look.
Yeah, no, exactly.
Get a little closer.
That's when the liquors get you.
Move it around your fingers a little bit.
Yeah.
So my TV will be War Machine related.
What?
Okay.
What? Yep.
That happened?
Oh, great. I feel an edit coming on.
No. No, it's just my TV this week is for guys that have been playing the game a long time and know better, and they still try to pull shit. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, when several times during the day they get corrected, and they're like, oh, whoops.
Yeah.
Sloppy douchers.
Well, and it's like, I've been playing since Mark 1. Like, okay.
You should know what the cards say.
Yeah.
There's a few classes of them. There's the sloppy players. There's the intentionally trying to pull crap players. Mm-hmm. There's
all
there's
of them.
A, there's a group, several groups.
There you go. All
that
of
you
them.
Have to deal with.
All of them.
Yeah, I do. To tack on my own little subset of that culture is the dude you have to sort of potty train on how to play War Machine correctly that just isn't having it. Like, we got to be really exact. You got to have your tape measure right to the table and blah, blah, blah. And I feel like... Oh, man, you're just, like, limiting me, man, with these rules. And they sort of, it's just like, it's just a game. Fuck off. You know, the first game they ever, the tournament they ever played with Hacksaw, they immediately, like, oh, they come back with, like, a different attitude. But
and the people who, during your turn, found $10 and just can't stop talking about it.
Yep.
And doing everything they can to keep your attention. Mm-hmm. Can I look at your cards again? And then my girlfriend left me, and then my dog died. And what were your cards again? Can I look at those again? Just running your clock down with inane bullshit.
Yeah, like, that sucks. It's the guys that are, like, purposely...
Or they really should know better.
Yeah, yeah. There's no excuse. Like, those are the people that really get me.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Especially if they're, like, PGs or whatever.
And they just sort of fatigue the whole community, you know?
Yeah.
It's a drain to have to play against those players.
Because, like, a place like Gen Con, it's going to take the top of the top, the cream of the crop of those douchebags.
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, the cream of the crop of everybody that's sweet, you know, Fat Asians and Neutralizers and all those guys are showing up. Yeah. All the cool guys show up. Yeah. But then again, the top cream of the crop of the douchebags show up, and it's like, fuck.
And it's, you know? Like, four awesome dudes and eight douches.
Yeah.
And they go into turbo mode.
Yeah, they do go into
when
turbo
they get into the tournament scene.
Yeah. Turbo douchiness. Yay.
It just fatigues the game. It's like,
well, yeah. Especially like today when it's super laid back and it's like totally chill. It's like there's no reason.
Yep.
It's like, why?
We actually have a Warhammer Fantasy player on Thursdays who's kind of an interesting character. He's a outgoing, super charismatic guy, super rah-rah into Warhammer Fantasy, but he's like a super smart like list builder and tournament player and all that. And I was kind of questioning him, like, why don't you play, you know, you ever thought about War Machine? And he used to be a super competitive War Machine player, and he would go to Gen Con. His Gen Con days predate, like, me and Beanish's, and he actually got booted out. It's actually interesting to sort of hear his account, because the people he dealt with that sort of – he quit the game because he just realized when you got to the top, there was sort of a strata of shit that you had to deal with to sort of be at that, like, top level, which is sort of kind of what I'm wrestling with now. But it's interesting that – the people he complained about to hear the exact same names that are still, it's like, holy crap. You know, it's almost like a Kaiser Sose moment, like, oh my god, they've been around forever. You know, like,
they never die. Yeah, holy shit, it's always existed.
Yeah.
Kevin Spacey, oh my god.
Yeah.
Spoilers, fuck.
Yeah.
Well, whatever.
It's weird. It's
Kobayashi.
I mean, if you haven't seen it by now,
Star Trek.
Yeah. Go watch Superman instead.
When you watch like 6 million movies, I'll become one big movie. And then Snake Plissken shows up and shoots him.
And then the ninjas ride in on their motorcycles.
Yep.
Talking about how friendship will last forever.
Yeah, speaking of which, I submitted some fucking sweet questions to Muse on Minis. They better fucking answer them or they're going to TB.
That's true.
This will be our first, like...
What kind of questions did he ask?
What kind of questions did I ask?
Yeah.
Well, let me pull up the questions real quick. These are some sweet questions.
So let's talk about other stuff.
Or we just be quiet for, like, 5 minutes and I'll just cut it out.
Yeah, we can cut out. Or, just be sweet. Just, keep talking, guys. Trust me.
It'll be awesome. Oh, Jamie's going to have to listen to every part of this podcast. It's only an hour 34 minutes of editing right now.
Ball sex.
All right, the questions I asked them, and these are sort of important questions that need to be answered.
They're questions for the ages, and they need to come from Nigel.
These are questions
directly.
I'm basically closed circuit to Fat Asian and the boys.
All right, boys, you're on blast now. Yeah.
Uh-oh.
I really want to start a progressive synth band, but I'm unfortunately over-gifted with Taekwondo skills that eat up the bulk of my time. Should I follow my dream and make a band of all Taekwondo masters and maybe get a gig at a popular nightclub, or just stick to my intensive Taekwondo regimen? That's question number one. I'm waiting for a fucking answer because my life's fucking on hold until some of these things get cleared up.
I feel like our boy Ted is kind of that guy.
He's clearly in the band.
Yeah.
I mean, I've had my heel in his mouth a few times. He seems to like it. All right, so what? Also, if I do start a band, what should I name it? Two things I love, dragons, and I also love making shitloads of noise. Any idea? Also, around the shop I work, there's this band of ninjas, and all they do is sell cocaine. Is there anything I can do about this issue, or is it a police matter?
These are important questions that really need to be answered.
Finally, we just found out that one of our potential bandmates, in fact, has a father, and he wants to go and find him. But we built the band roster based on the idea that we were all orphans that practiced Taekwondo. Should we keep him in the lineup because we already are family and we can never break that bond, thick or thin, rain or snow?
I somehow think that every single one of these questions might be answered by watching a certain movie we talked about last week.
That could be.
No, they need to be answered by Fat Asian.
Well, the problem is the questions came into being because I watched the movie several weeks ago and now I'm living my life by it. So, in all, like, for instance, 5 years ago, if you watched the movie Roadhouse, you basically knew everything you needed to know about Nigel. Whereas now, if you watch Miami Connection, you know everything you need to know about Nigel,
You have to run. I think you have to watch both to know Nigel.
Well, there's sort of the evolution of Nigel. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
The mystery that is Nigel.
Yeah.
You got to get an Under Siege viewing in there somewhere, too.
Under Siege you can completely skip, but you can watch Big Trouble in China and then Escape from New York and then get it.
But not Return to L.A.
Oh, up until Miami Connection, I was basically Kurt Russell, and then mixed with Sam Elliott, mixed with, like, a mullet.
To be fair, Kurt Russell kind of had a mullet going on.
I didn't even know Taekwondo until I watched Miami Connection, and now I'm a master.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Is that a Matrix? I know Kung Fu mullet.
Yeah. There's two things I fucking do now. Play keyboard, or the guitar, and kick some ass.
Okay. Yeah.
So, anyways, those are questions. Five questions.
I didn't know I was a coke dealing ninja.
Yep.
Until I watched that movie.
I didn't know I was a biker.
They call it salt next door. Well, salt cake. It's a clever name. The cops haven't caught on yet.
I do only ever see middle-aged women going into that store.
What does that have to do with
anything? Wait, what?
Yeah, what does that have to do with cocaine?
It's full of cocaine.
You're 30-something. Power brokers, man.
I think you more just told me I need to hang out there with a box of Magnums.
just a handful of wishful thinking.
Yeah, a handful of wishful thinking. Maybe a shitload of wishful thinking. Just drop them on the floor. Ask them if they're scraps.
Did you drop something? I think you dropped something, ma'am.
Do they fit you like crisscross starter jackets?
That's my phone number on the back.
Yeah. I subscribe to the Frank method, the scraps.
All right. Are we all done?
I think so.
Do poop. Guys,
poop shitters or bathroom shitters, fucking one TB, it looks like.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. As much as I hate douches.
Fat Asian's probably going to win next week. And then. but I think that's it, right?
Yeah.
Yep. All right. This has been another episode of Focus and Fury.
Yep.
Episode 99, apparently.
Apparently.
Episode 99. One short of 100.
Oh, do we get to do a special episode next time?
No, we're done now forever.
We do. Next episode's going to be a recap episode of the previous 100.
Montage.
Yeah, exactly. So it'll be like a little family ties thing where we're going back, you know, like, we'll basically, like, Ryan will walk in with, like, a Mountain Dew and he'll spill it. Like, that reminds me of the time in episode 4. And then we're like, it'll be sweet.
You realize we can't do, like, star wipes in radio, right?
Yeah, we can. No, that's where we're going, yeah.
Yeah.
We'll make
okay. Sweet Everyone comments. Will understand yeah, exactly yeah. what that means.
Well, everybody who's watched, no, fuck.
You meddling
Wayne's World.
Kids.
Wayne's World.
Yeah. If you close your eyes while listening, we'll take you there. Yeah. Unless you're driving.
In which case, we'll take you there, too.
We'll take you there, too. Yeah,
yeah whatever. Yeah. Especially if you're one of the previous aforementioned bathroom shitters.
Yeah. If you wake up and your hands are going through a field of wheat, you are no longer listening to our podcast, but you are Elysium.